Blog Talk Radio.
I'm telling you, man,
yeah.
Xfinity about to make me lose it. Do you hear me?
if I have one more damn problem with the internet, with my cable TV, girl, I'm going to be on the news, huh? I'm going to be I am so sick of them. And then it's like when you call and try to rectify whatever the problem is, it's a whole bunch of automated prefab answers to make you feel good. No, the only thing that's going to make me feel good, if you give me what in the H-E double hockey stick I'm paying for. That, oh, Lord, you know what? Let me stop. Woosah.
That's him.
Woosah. Woosah. What's up, sis? How are you today, man?
I'm just enjoying myself. Just don't let them get you. That's all. Just don't
I'm really trying not to, but if it's anything in this world that disturbs me or gets my goat, as my grandfather used to say, it's me paying for something and not receiving what I paid for. You know, look, they tell me, oh, we just need to send a technician out to your house and he'll troubleshoot from inside the house and that should rectify any problem. I said should or is. You know,
right.
I'm a word listener, two words. You understand me? Should or is. She said is. I said okay. We start the show, and the reason I love Parliament and Freak of the Week, trust me, but I had no intentions on playing it that long. You know,
right.
I had no intentions on playing it that long at all. Halfway through, the computer says to me, internet connection lost. And I'm glad that it was lost because some of the words that I uttered would have probably gotten us kicked off the air. For real. Yes, yes. I am so sick of them. And then they try to talk so well, and they always say my name wrong, you know. And I'll be the first to admit, my name is not an easy name. I know. UKL can be a little bit much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you call, you come, you call, you come. Uh-huh. Listen,
uh-huh.
My name is UKL, damn it, and I better not have to tell you again. Woosah, 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 woosah.
You know what I hate about stuff like that? What I hate about stuff like that is when I'm calling on a business call, right? Like Verizon, that's a business call, Comcast, all that stuff. And they ask me what my name is, right? I'll tell them what my name is, and then they proceed to call me ma'am. Sir, please use my name.
You know what?
I am not nobody's ma'am, okay?
That's cool. That's cool. You know, that's your personal preference. You're entitled to that.
Right.
I'd rather you call me sir than to screw my name up like you're doing. UKL has been with me my entire life. Every year, every day on this earth, it has been UKL. My twin is UK Lee. Okay, you know, that's cool. I've told you about the birthday celebration in church where we were called Yubel and Yubilee. Not even a B in our name. Yes, Yubel and Yubilee. I'm serious. My whole life, I've dealt with this. So when I'm calling you for a mistake that's yours, constantly making a mistake on my name, it irks me. It irks me.
Yeah.
It drives me absolutely crazy. And, you know, Reese came in here. She was like, are you okay? Are you all right? I was like, no, I'm not okay. These son of a gun.
I can hear you saying that, too.
For Kale's point of purposes. Yes. For Kale's point of purposes, it was these son of a guns keep messing my name up, you know, and she was like,
right.
baby, don't get upset. Baby, don't. And I'm like, look, I don't need you to be coming here and being cotton right now. I'm trying to get at somebody. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to hear that right now. But she always finds a way to calm me down, and then I'll apologize to her. I'm sorry for yelling at you. It wasn't you. It was them idiots, you know? So, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, how are things going at the Treece and Tang resident this weekend? How was your weekend, man?
We was amazing as usual. We, you know, hung out with the grandbabies again, and our kids was a part of it. And so we had a good time. Family came over. We looked at the game. I mean, at the fight. Mm-hmm. Got a little bit inebriated, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, that was after the grandbabies and all of them. They went to sleep. So we was
still up,
you know, looking at the Haney fight and all that, you know, doing our little thing.
Yeah.
But we had a good
time.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
That's
what's
grown
up. That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, grown people.
I missed y'all.
Time, you know?
Corner, though. I missed y'all. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we both did. We both missed Kale's Corner and the wise remarks and
yeah.
I don't want to hear that. I want to hear this and all that. We missed you guys.
Exactly.
On today's show, we'll discuss the Preakness, the winner, and the action, other action from the race. The WNBA season kickoff, y'all. Who's looking strong at the start, in your opinion? Who's looking good at the start, in your opinion? And I'm going to just, for the record, say the Mystics, boy. I love them gals. Yeah, I got by the Mystics, boy. We're going to go into the Haney and Lomachenko. I really don't want to call this a fight, y'all, but I'm for Kale's Corner purposes, the Haney and Lomachenko fight from this weekend. With all the unhappiness about the result,
mm-hmm.
where do you stand? What is your opinion? We're going to discuss the latest MLB news and action to suffice our MLB fans in the crowd. Y'all talking about the NBA playoffs. Wow.
Right. Yeah.
It's so hard to say goodbye.
I ain't messing with you.
To my man, Bronny.
That's a good season. They had a good season.
Yes.
From the play-ins. They came all the way from the play-ins all the way up. So they had a pretty good season.
Well, they came from 13 to 8. You know what I'm saying? And that's commendable. That is very commendable. They just went up against a team who had a little bit more. And Joker, oh, my goodness. Some of those shots that he was making, Treece, I was like, oh, they're destined. They are destined.
Exactly.
You know, when he threw that three up from 1 foot.
From way back when?
And maybe,
from out yonder?
Yes. I was like, oh, man. They destined, man, you know. And, hey, LeBron, y'all coming up against a destined team. That's about it. And, you know, but we're going to talk about it. I also want to take a second, guys, to give a tribute to the late, great Jim Brown. You know, as we look at his journey in life and the NFL, also with his acting career. You know, I want to give that man his props. You know, amazing athlete, amazing human being, and even more amazing leader of his people. So we're going to take a second to give Jim Brown his Kale's Corner flowers, okay? All right, guys, you can join Lady T and the Online Corner crew on Facebook Live at Kale's Corner. You can also join Lady T, DMV Kale, and all our live in-studio family on 563-999-3782. And I had to do it, Therese. Kale's Corner, where keeping it real is our only real. Now, I'm talking about, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know. I had to bring it back. I was just feeling that so much. Well, we've just about freak of the week ourselves to death. So I'm give us something else on this outro.
Yes.
I got you. 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782. I'm going to give it up for the weather, man. Yeah, time out. We'll be right back, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drums, please.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it.
Don't try to
think of the summer of the past, adjust the bass.
I love that little part. If it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. Don't try to fix it. Why am I singing so much today, Trey? What, I mean, what's really
you're
going
just
on?
You're happy.
I'm happy. Yes, that's what it is. That is what it is. My cold, yeah. I'm telling you, yeah. He be on time. Yeah, time back. All right. The Preakness, here in Baltimore. Thanks to our man Kirby, you know, we knew exactly what was happening with the Preakness all weekend. We knew that National Treasure won with the jockey John Valsquez to claim his first victory at the Preakness. But a lot of people were hurt or sad because he robbed Mage. That win robbed Mage of the Triple Crown victory. So, you know, hey, you win some, you lose some.
He should have won.
Yeah, exactly. Horse racing is no different from any other sport that we're watching, you know. The horse or the team that puts it out, that will bring the most to win, will win, if I'm saying it correctly. Yeah. So, you know, congratulations to all the horses. I hated the horses that were had to be euthanized or put to sleep, you know. Hey, Marcus, I see you now. Marcus made me sick.
What's up, Marcus?
Yeah, it was sad to me, those horses that had to lose their lives, but I understand what was happening, and, you know, I'm not going to go into speculation on, you know, this and that, and, you know, those guys are professional, and if the horse showed injuries that were not recoverable from, then, yeah, that was the most humane thing to do. Trees, you got anything you want to say about that?
I just think that they should have donated. I'm not up for nobody, you know, killing the horses just because they can't run in the race. They could have, you know, some little kids could have had fun on the horses, you know, stuff like that. But it is what it is. I mean, I don't have any control over it. I just don't support it.
Right, right. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, those horses still, even though they weren't in top-notch race condition,
mm-hmm.
there still could have been other uses for them. They didn't have
yeah.
to be, you know, euthanized. But it is what it is. It is what it is.
Right.
You know, so you know, hey. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our man, Lou. Hey, look, and I'm so somber and sad over that tree. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? Go ahead, Lou. What's up? Welcome to the corner, bro.
Thanks. You know, I'm not big on that either, having to put the horses down or something like that. But at the same time, if there's nothing you can do to save it, you know, then I think that you have to have them well, the word is euthanized. I mean, I'm not really a big fan of that. I know a lot of friends of mine have like horses and whatnot, but you do what you have to do, even if it's, you know, even though it's a tragedy to have it happen. I mean, at the
right.
Kentucky
I mean,
Derby, there were
mm-hmm.
seven horses that actually had that.
Yeah.
Had to be euthanized.
Yeah.
You know, it's becoming an epidemic, though, with these horses. And these races lately, and that's a sad sign for the sport.
Yeah,
it is sad.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen it this bad.
Yeah, and they've been doing this what 148 years? They say 104. This 148th
yeah.
year.
No,
yeah,
this was
149. It's never been this bad.
This
okay,
was 149. Yeah. Close enough.
Close enough, guys.
Close enough.
But, you know, to see it happen like that and becoming more rampant, you know, that's a bad sign right there for the sport itself.
Right. I agree.
You know, and I hope that they can, you know, find a better alternative to just have them put down. I mean, you know, that's really a trainer to help them get better. But it doesn't seem like, you know, he said, well, this horse has a leg injury. Is that we can do about it? You know, something. I think it has to be a better alternative than just putting him down right away.
That's what I say, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that as well. Like Lady T said, you know, There's a child or children somewhere that would seriously enjoy that horse in their the state that they're in, you know. So
yeah.
You know, Marcus makes me sick. Come on, y'all, we're gonna move on. Come on in here, 57. What's happening?
What's up, Hot? Unmute yourself.
No, it's not him. The thing is just not. It's goodness. Come on. Hold on, 57. I'm going to try my best. I'm going to get you in here, bro. It's buffering.
It's probably, yeah, it's trying you. They over there trying you. That's all that is.
They
want you to explode, but you know, don't do it. Don't explode. Just take your time and try to figure it out. That's all. Because that's what they're doing with these horses. Instead of them taking their time to figure it out, they just putting them down one by one. Just putting them down. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
One at a time. Yeah. I didn't watch the whole
okay.
Preakness.
Yeah,
I didn't watch
come
the whole
on,
movie.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
What's
there
up, everybody?
Go.
How y'all doing?
Hey,
listen.
What's going on?
Let me say this real quick. I was listening to Kel telling the story, and I was about the internet. I was like, I got so many jokes I could crack, but I want to be on the show Thursday, so I'm going to keep these to myself.
Yeah, keep them.
Hey, listen.
Keep them. Keep them.
Yeah. Let me tell y'all something. The horses, some things, the horse is so big, some mm-hmm. stuff you can't save them. You know, some leg fractures and things to their leg because they stand up. You know, they got to be standing up. And that's hard on the horse. No, I don't think any owner, even though I know there's some bad practices in the sport, but you don't win, lose, you don't gain anything if you put a good horse down. Even if he doesn't win a race, you can bring him to stud. You can do a lot with him. So I don't think anybody really wants to put a good horse down. And things are just better for the horse because they're going to go through so much pain trying to get him well. You know, we watch Seabiscuit and go, oh, wow, he had a broken leg.
Yeah.
He didn't bring him back. That's TV. It doesn't work like that.
I'm only saying 27 because, you know, we had horses. That's the only reason why I'm saying it. We had horses. And even though the horse can't run like that, they just call them lames. That's what they call them. They just call it when they have leg injuries and stuff like that. What they do is they just patch it up and then they send them off, you know, send them over there to somewhere else and let them heal. These people, they just figure that they got leg injuries and stuff like that. It's not worth saving. It's, they don't want to.
No,
you know,
you can't do all horses like that, though, sis.
No.
You can't do all horses like that.
I'm not saying all of them. I'm not saying all of them. Some of them have to be put down. Some of them, yes, they do. But what I'm saying is not all. I can't even imagine all 7 or 8 of these horses having the same exact injury and being put down. Like, that's,
yeah.
I mean, that's, I don't know, that's crazy.
Well, we're losing sight of one fact,
y'all. Like they have a disease
fact,
or something,
y'all.
Like cancer or something like that.
True that. But we're losing sight of one factor. Whenever big money is involved, patience is not something that is implemented. Exactly. It is not a virtue whenever something like this happens. So, you know, we got to remember that. Let's bring Marcus in. Come on, Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
What's up, y'all? What's going on? How y'all doing?
Why are you here?
What's up, Marcus?
All right, man. Listen. 57 and you, Kel, y'all kind of took my point, but there's another point too. You know, when it comes, so I had the great opportunity to ride being a city kid through a program when I was younger, and the horse that I learned was an actual ex race horse. It's very, very hard to train an ex-racehorse to be kind of like to not run, not race. You know what I'm saying? So those commands are hard to teach. Every single time I got on that horse wanted to take off. You know what I'm saying? And you can't do that to kids. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. It's dangerous. It's almost like a pit bull.
Well, you know, I had horses. I had horses. That's the only reason why I'm saying it, because
so
I had
what
horses. And we
so
had
you know what
horses,
I'm talking about.
And they can be a little dangerous and stuff like that, but I'm not saying little kids. I'm saying kids, like, that know what they're doing with horses, been around horses all their lives and stuff like that, like farm animals and stuff like that. Once an animal like that goes to the farm, And not getting told, let's race, let's do it, let's do that, and you just walk in him, you just walk in that animal, then it's fine. Just walk in that animal. We're not giving him no demands. We're just telling, we're just telling that animal to walk. We don't want him to run at all. That's all I'm saying.
I feel what you're saying, Trees. But when I was trying to make more than one point, but the biggest point is what Kale said. Is trying to actually deal with the cost of what it's going to take to get that horse to the point where it could even have anybody on its back. You know what I'm saying? That horse has to
that
stand
be the
all
problem,
the time.
Though.
You know,
but that don't be the problem with them getting on the horse if it's a racehorse, because they're used to somebody being on their back. That don't be the problem.
No, I'm
the
talking about the injury.
Go ahead.
I'm talking about the injury. I'm talking about the actual injury that they have.
Yeah.
The injury that they have will cause them not to be able to handle any weight on them. They
got
to stand all the time.
Not even their own weight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, both.
I'm just saying because we have horses and we've been through it. The foot is lame or something like that. It's gonna limp it's not even gonna try to run. It's just gonna walk. It's just gonna do a steady walk. You wrap the leg up. You give it a chance for the injury to heal. Is what I'm saying. And it's not gonna cost that much for the injury to heal.
But with that,
it's cheaper to have a dog when that horse
is injured, doesn't that make it dangerous for any individual that's trying to ride it? I would think that
why
the
we
horse
riding it?
Would.
But why are we riding it? Okay. That is what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. We're not riding
so
it.
You're
going to walk the horse.
Either.
Like, it's going to walk anyway. It got to walk anyway. So you put a kid on it, they weigh 70 pounds. That ain't nothing to a horse.
But
there are some leg injuries that horses have that you can't come back from.
I agree with that, 257.
It's 70 pounds plus the weight that the horse is already carrying, which is himself,
but he
got to
carry
right?
that anyway, kid. Yeah, he got to carry that anyway.
Hmm.
Yeah, he got
to but
carry
it's hard
that
for
anyway.
Him to carry it with.
Go ahead, Vincent.
No, I'm done.
Okay. All right, let's go. Let's bring in Tang, another horse rider. What's up, bro?
Hey bro, what it do? What it do, Kel's Corner family? Look, I'm getting on here late. I hear y'all talk about these horses. So what y'all really trying to say? Like, because I'm going to tell you now, if you come to Piscataway Stables, when my man Tommy and them go get like 25 horses, man, half of them wild. But you got people up there that know how to tame a horse. You just got to be a horse whisperer. You got to put that lead rope on him,
Lord.
And you got to demand him to do what you want him to do.
Let me finish.
You got to demand him to do what you want him to do. Now, don't get me wrong. 57, absolutely right. When some horses get some certain injuries, because I done rode up there and watched somebody come back with a horse that tore his leg up, and they had to put him down. But I also watch a lot of people that ride, and horse get tore up every week. All they do is go get the ointment. They wrap it up. They put the ointment on it. They don't ride them for 2 or 3 weeks. Then they back on them. All of y'all are right. All of y'all are right. I promise you, all of y'all are right what y'all saying. Because a horse been a racehorse, like my people just bought a racehorse. Man, when he tried to get up on them, he did buck. He got up off of them. He put that lead rope around them. You make them go in a circle for about 15 minutes, and you stare that horse in his eye. You ask anybody that know about horses. You let that horse know that you are in demand. I don't care what type of horse you get. I had to do it with Tracy horse when we first got it. That sucker reared up on me plenty of times when I tried to get on him. But I had to let him know that I was the one teaching him, and I was the owner. That's all it is. You just got to know how to deal with a horse. But you're absolutely right. If the horse do tear his leg up a certain type of way, you do have to put him down, though. I honestly agree with that. But I didn't see it happen. Coming back from off a ride.
Tree said it's cheaper to have a horse than it is a dog. As far as
it's way cheaper.
Okay.
Let me tell you why.
How much does it cost to keep? Hold on. Let me ask you. How much does it cost to keep keep a horse in a stable?
When you have your own stable, it'll cost you $100 a month. You got grass?
No, I mean, like,
when we got our own. Now, if you're gonna keep it up there at your farm, it's gonna cost you $250 a month because you got to they're gonna do all the feeding.
Yeah.
But if you got
your
own,
that's what I mean.
But they're not taking care of the horse because you got to take care of your own horse. All they doing is feeding.
Yes. All they doing is feeding them.
Yeah, they're not even giving them the extra stuff that we would go to the Amish people and get the grains, or go to the other horse fat we was going to go get the grains and oats. All that is extra for them because the horse going to graze off the grass anyway.
You're talking about race horses.
Because the way you can tell you got a racehorse is you pull that nip down and you're gonna see them Roman numerals up in there. If you don't see no Roman numerals up in there, you don't have a racehorse.
So pull what nip down. I'm asking.
Exactly. I'm with you, Gail.
But listen to me. To put the bit in his mouth, let me tell you something. A horse is more scared of you than anything. Not unless you show that you're scared of him.
I remember you said that.
We already went through that.
Every time you touch the horse, you got to put the bit up in his mouth. You're going to touch his teeth anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You got to open his mouth up to put the bit up in there.
Oh, my goodness.
I ain't putting nothing in his mouth because I ain't getting on his back.
Nobody for that. But you can ask anybody. The horses are way more cheaper than any animal, that any pet that you can have in your house. The horse is way more cheaper because even a bird, because a bird, you got to feed that bird or he going to die. If I let my horse out into my backyard right here, I don't even got to feed him. He's going to eat all the grass out there. He's going to eat all the grass, and guess what? His boo-boo is going to make more grass. That's why I'm saying he is cheaper than any animal that's out here. He's cheaper
and
than any animal
around,
out here.
I mean,
and then when you
I
ride
mean,
over to King George,
so
then when you ride over
I
to King George, because it's better to go further out, you can get a 1,000-pound round hay bale for $50 or $75.
Exactly.
Okay.
If
you got two horses, that's going to last you for about two and a half months, almost 3 months.
Okay.
Almost 3 months.
That's cool.
We would get two of them, and we had 15 horses on the joint, and that joint would last for about two because they're going to graze on the grass the whole time. They eat all day long.
But listen, bro, the question to you guys.
Huh? Let me ask you. Wait. Let me say this, Mark. Let me make this point real quick. That's the bale price, $70, $50 or $70. You say,
but for a thousand pound joint.
Yeah, but I still got to drive to where I'm getting that. Drive back. That's gas on my car.
No, they deliver it. They deliver it.
Bro, they deliver that, bro.
No,
they deliver it.
Got to pay for it.
Okay.
No,
you gotta pay for it to be delivered.
$75. They're gonna deliver it. They're gonna deliver
it
for you.
That's in the price.
And in the wintertime, the prices drop.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's still cheap. I'm telling y'all.
I don't want nothing that pulls bigger than I do.
Because for one thing, a dog, you gotta walk
that
dog. You gotta walk that dog,
and it don't. Right.
You got to walk a
and
dog.
You
got to
walk.
You got to train the dog.
And
got to fight.
No,
you don't,
bro. The horse is steady walking all by itself all day long. He's getting his exercise in.
You got to train the horse, too?
No.
But if you buy
that type of horse, you got to train it.
Yeah.
Just like you train a dog.
Oh, y'all buying some the old gray mare. He already know everything.
Because when we would ride up to the Ruby Tuesdays. On Sundays, we would ride from the farm, cut through the woods, hit the power lines, ride up to the Ruby Tuesday. I trained Treacy horse so raw, I didn't have the time to a tree. Once I pulled his, like if you watch Raw High and all them type of old Western movies, and you see them just jump off their horse and take the lead rope and put it down on the ground, and he won't move, man, you done trained your horse a hell of a way.
That's probably because you was knocking him out like in Blazing Saddles.
No, you ain't knocking no horse out.
No, sir.
Everybody tell you I did it one time trying to do that, and I pushed my whole knuckle back, and I had to push it back in place. But I still
and
got up in there
and
rode
like
that day, though.
Yeah. He was looking at
me
like, what?
Okay. Okay, listen. The other day, I decided, come on, Ghost, we're going to take a ride. And I put him in the car with me. He proceeded to act a fool in the car. Then the Bama showed his teeth. Then the Bama growled and showed me his teeth. I hit that Bama so hard in the nose. I hit him so hard in the nose. He went down in the sitting position, looked up at me like, oh, what I do? You know what I mean? And I was like, you don't ever show me your teeth. You don't ever growl at me like that. Are you crazy? And Reese got in the car and was like, what did you do? Why is he just sitting down?
Yo,
I said, because that nigga ain't trying to get that hit again. Hey,
and you know what, Big Bro? That's the same way with a horse. You have they nose is the softest thing on their body, just like a dog. You have to hit them in their nose. But I didn't do that. I tried to hit him up on the side of his jaw. Like it was a regular person. But if you hit him on that nose, a horse going to do the same thing. The same thing that dog do, because that's the softest part of his body, that nose.
Boy. I mean, I'll take your word for it.
Well, I'm a whip, I got cats, bro.
That's how I said I got cats.
Hey, and they done had me trapped in the corner. They showed me, look, they make that noise. I'm like, hey, what you want, man? So anything show me their teeth, I'm scared to death.
No, I ain't doing that.
When a horse shows you his teeth, all you're going to see is a smile, and you're going to know they're smiling. A horse don't frown. They don't show you their teeth because they're going to bite you.
No.
Yeah, that's why I jumped off his butt.
It's a smile.
Most of the time, they don't bite you. If they mad at you, they going to ray up or they kick back. That's all
they anything that can take that head and turn it all the way around and grab me, I don't want to be on that.
I know that's right.
You can't act like you're 57. You just got to get up on them and let them know that the boss.
I love horses tame, but I love to look at them. I love to look at them. I don't want to ride one.
I ain't mad at you not one bit. I used to be the same way.
You know? I admire people that can get out and ride horses and have a good time. But that ain't for me, bro.
When I first started on this show, that's where I was at, in the stalls. I used to be talking on the stall, in the stalls, cleaning the stalls out. That's what I was doing with my horse.
That's the most work you're going to do if it rains, and you leave your horse in the stalls overnight. That's the most work you're going to do. But all you're going to do is scoop that up. And you're going to throw it out in the field. But that's the most work you're going to do is picking that up.
With a horse. That's right.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that if we fall, it can fall on me and kill me, I don't need to be riding that. I don't need to be on that.
You ain't falling on me. That fell on me.
But I know some people, hey, look, some people, when they first get their horse, they're sleeping. Let it be the summertime. So that horse that know that he the owner, they'll sleep in the stall with the horse.
I ain't have to lay in the kennel with Ghost. He knew by me feeding him that I was that dude for him. So.
Exactly. And they know that, and that's another way they'll know too, because when you constantly the one that call him, just like, man, I promise y'all, man, them Jones used to be way out in the field. We'd get there and open up the fence. Every 15 horse knew where they saw was at. They didn't have to, they didn't have no problem. You going in the wrong spot. Hey, man, they knew after about 2 weeks, they know where they supposed to go at. All you got to do is open up the gate and make sure they stalls open. All of them going to go to each one of their stalls. And you'll never have a problem.
Hey, bruh, I laid down in somebody's stall 47 years ago. I've been stuck ever since. I ain't landing no more.
I know
stalls.
That's right.
I'm done with him. Hey, I'm going to tell Grandma you're talking about her, too.
I'm done.
You're terrible, boy. You are terrible.
I'm going to tell Grandma.
Hey, I'm not even, I laid in the stall that I wanted to be in. I ain't fooling with no horse, man. No, I'm sorry. They just, to me, y'all, they just too unpredictable, man. They too unpredictable, and the Bama's can just like, yeah, nah.
They won't do that.
I promise
you. You're gonna have the time of your life.
Hey, okay. Big bruh. They too unpredictable, just like a dog is unpredictable.
That's what I was getting ready to say. You halfway there, Kel, because you got an aggressive pet, and you got control of it. A horse is the same way. Once he knows, like Tane say, who the boss is, he cool. If you watch them guys on TV, they always holding that leash. They don't never let that horse get out of control. That horse always knows who's in charge, and they stand right in front of him so he can look him in the eye. And I'm like, he going to bite you.
Our granddaughter will hold the leash, and that my horse would not move. Whoever holding that leash, he's standing right where you want him to go. He's doing whatever you tell him to do. If you move one way, he's going to move that way. If you move the other way, he's going to move that way. It don't matter. They're going to follow whoever got that leash.
Well, I must have had some Martin Luther King Avenue horses, because them families buck, pull, ran where they wanted to go, all that. Almost every time I try a horseback.
See, nobody trained them.
Nope, nobody trained. I'm going to tell you what it is. Started riding back in 87, bro. And I'm going to tell you, I used to skip school to go ride at the farms, me and all my homies. And let me tell you what that problem be. What it was whoever was on that horse before you got there, that horse did whatever he wanted to do. And when he tried it with you, you ain't try to pull that rein back and try to pull that bit through his. Man, take your hands and put them on the side of your mouth and pull back. And just imagine you doing it to the horse. That's what makes them calm down. Also, that bit in his mouth.
I will not. I'm telling you, I will not. Hey, listen, y'all, this is a great conversation, y'all, but we got to move on. All the people that plan on riding the horses, like Tank say, take his advice, do what he say, you know, let that horse know that you in control, you that man. Yeah, I ain't doing it. You can
you
tell
man,
me about it
you
afterwards.
That, you that pappy's daddy.
You can tell
you
me
that baby's daddy.
Yeah, I want to hear the story, but yeah, I don't want to see it, and I don't want to be there. So yeah, that's how I'm going to do that. 563-999-3782. We'll be right back, y'all.
Yeah. There's just one thing I want to say. The really, 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 real, yo. There's just one thing I want to say. Copy. There's just one thing I want to say. We gonna hit it down like this, y'all know the flavor. There's just one thing I wanna say. Alamo, was you with me? What goes around comes back around again. Said Doogie, is you with me? What goes around comes back around again. SOS, is you with me? What goes around comes back around again. Yeah, this how we gonna bust it down, y'all. Y'all know the flavor. You know what time is it? Check it, yo. This how we flow. Here comes the boober, and you know I won't fake it. Usually bust records on getting butt naked. Made for the Benzie. Driver.
Hey, Grand Pooba. Boy, I used to love them. WNBA, y'all. We're going to go over the standings real quick. In the Eastern Conference, the Sky are the number one team with a 2-0 record. The Sun are the number two team with a 2-0 record. The Mystics are the number three team with a 1-1 record. The Liberty is number four with a 1-1 record. The Dream is number five at 0-1. And the Fever are number six at 0-2. In the Western Conference, We have the Aces at number 1-1-0, the Sparks at number 2-1-0, the Wings at number 3-1-0, the Lynx at number 4-0-1, the Storm at number 5-0-1, and the Mercury are bringing up the rear, number 6-0-2. And at the beginning of the show, I was so hype about my Mystics, and I really still am, because the way that they're playing ball right now, it's a good mix for this team, and I like the young girls that we have a part of this team, and what they're doing. Now, the Mystics lost to the Suns, 80-74. They play the Suns again today at 7 p.m. They play the Sky on Friday. I'm not going to go over the whole schedule. But I think they'll move up in ranking here shortly, because the WNBA, Treece, how many games do they actually play? Because I know it's not long. Their season isn't long at all.
Let me figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
One second.
All right. Well, while we're waiting for Treece, come on in here, Ted. Give me some of this WNBA talk. I know you love the girls. Give me some of that talk.
Hey, what's up, Ted? How y'all doing this evening? Hey, what's going on, Tang? How y'all doing, Kale's Corner family, Lady T, Kale 57? I just think they need to just give them more support, you know, than what they getting. They get better, you know, but I think it's just too far gone. But I'm still trying to factor in the fact that Houston doesn't have a team, and they won the first four championships. You know, and that city doesn't have a team. I just think that every, you know, NBA team should have a ladies' team, so they won't have to go overseas and play, and what have you. So, I'm just excited about a lot of teams that picked up a lot of, they, as they call it, super teams. You know, New York done picked up Breonna Stewart, Shaquille Jones, you know. They got a whip right there. They already had that school girl, you know. I'm pronouncing the girl name wrong, Snuko, but for her, you know, and they got picked up somebody else. But then we know Ace picked up Candace Parker. New York gets they got Chicago's guard, Van Sloot. They got her on New York team. So they done pretty much split Chicago team up, but we're not that bad. You know, we still got some remnants. That girl, I can't think of her name, but number 2, she's pretty nice. We got another decent center, new girl that came on. She's decent. But I'm just excited about the NBA, WNBA, you know, this season, because the girls play hard and they don't be crying, you know. Like the boys, like the men do. Thing about the Mystics, I like the Mystics team, but I think Natasha Cloud be hurting them. Because she's trying. Let me explain. Because they already got enough offensive weapon, and it's like, because I just seen one time she missed Shakira, was down there. You know how Shakira rim run, and you know she got her person sealed. And then Katasha, you know, just like overlooked her and stuff. And then a lot of times she want to search for her shot instead of, you know, Della Don. You got to make the new girl. And then you got, like I said, other shooters and stuff. I'm not saying that she's not supposed to shoot at all, but, you know, just move that ball around. You're not the number one person, you know. So that's just all I'm saying, you know. And she cries a lot though. She gets the text a lot because she be complaining to the refs a lot.
What did you say?
So it's 40 games. It's 40 games. They play 20 home, 20 away. They only play 40 games.
Okay, okay, yeah, yeah. I knew it was a short season.
Short day.
Yeah.
I think the Mystics will be a better team once they get halfway through the season, once they Deladon and the rest of them start to gel together a little bit better. I think the Mystics, you know, plus I love that team. I expect them to do a lot better than they're doing right now. It is the beginning of the season. I just feel like, you know, they're just not gelling right now, not disagreeing with anything anyone's saying. I just think it's just a reason. I think it's just a cause of them just not playing together for a long period of time. Deladon was hurt, and, you know, and she's back, and she's really healthy this year, you know. So I expect to see something better out of this team than we saw last year, even though the Vegas are loaded up and, you know, and got everybody out there now. So we'll see.
Yeah, they're a super team now. Yeah, they didn't got Candace Parker.
Yeah.
He then went over there from the sky. Like, they just,
yep.
I'm
sorry, Kale. They are talking about adding more teams around the league. You know, that's something they're exploring right now and talking about. So hopefully that will happen. Like Ted said, the only way we're going to be able to stop them from having to go overseas and other places is the fans got to go out and support the teams too. You know, it's all a big, you know, part of it.
Yeah. 007,
y'all.
007.
Oh, shoot. I didn't even know I was on. Hey, happy Tuesday.
I'm sorry, real quick before you go, 007, let me say, I agree with you 100%, but I also agree they need to add more games instead of 40-game season. Make them grind it out, like I say, so because after they season, a lot of them go overseas. Make it a 80-game season so they won't have to go overseas. And then that comes with more pay.
Yeah, and if they made it 80 games, I think it would interrupt too much other sports. Now, I'm with you on maybe 50 or 60 games, but 80 games, I think that will interrupt on regularly scheduled starting of sports. And then we got to talk about their playoffs. If they have a longer season like that, then how long is their playoff going to be? You know,
NFL be here before you know it.
You're going to lose, that's what I was about to say, you're going to lose the interest of some fans because they're going to pull off to go to other sports, NFL, NBA. So playing 80 games for them would probably be a detriment because they do start in basically the summertime, you know, and you got a lot of sports that's going to start up if you add more games, which is going to pull interest away from the WNBA. So I think maybe 10 more games, but I don't see them playing 80.
Hey, I got two things before I go back to the job. Two things I want to say.
Oh, Lord.
But the WNBA should have had a team in Boston. I just want to point that out. There's no reason you have the Los Angeles Sparks and have nothing in Boston. That's one.
They got Connecticut.
Number two,
Connecticut, their team.
Which is more worse than, you might as well bring back the Connecticut Hoff. I mean, the Hoffa Wellers, too. What brings me to this. the next time the Mystics win the championship, I know it's going to be soon, they should have a proper parade for them this time instead of that Bammers parade or get together or whatever they had in 2019. Give them their rightful parade, go down to Constitution Avenue and celebrate them ladies' rights.
I agree wholeheartedly with you on that. Don't and not just the Mystics, but the WNBA as a whole. The WNBA as a whole, you know, I just don't think that they do enough for these girls. We want to bring more fanfare and more people to their stadiums. You got to make it interesting. You got to make it an event that people want to come to. I mean, everybody can't win a championship every season, you know. So with that being said, you guys got to find a way. I hate that Ted Leonsis does this with the Wizards, but have some concerts, some events, some giveaways, you know, and to attract more people to the arena, man. You know, I'm with 007. That was a piss poor example of a parade celebrating the Mystics for their win. It was crazy. And then when they came back to defend their title, we didn't even really see any commercials for the season opener. We didn't really see any commercials saying that the Mystics were coming back. So with all that, I mean, it's like, come on, Ted. You got to do better. You got to do better, man. And I know Ted Leonsis is not a basketball guy. I understand that. But you're a money guy. And if you want to make money, what do? You invest into your product, bro. Show them that it's a better product. That will bring people, put butts in the seat. You know.
Can I say this? Let me say this real quick. I can say for the WNBA, the salary has gone up. I must say that the salary went up 2.99% from $1,420,500 up. That's how much it went up. It used to be $1,379,200. So that has went up. Even the salary for the max base salary, $202,156. And now it's up to the max, the super max is up to $234,000. So they're trying to get these women paid by any means necessary. But that's what LeBron make in one game. You know what I mean? Like, all of that is what one player, one man player, in one elite man player in the NBA makes in two or three games. They're giving that money as to the women. You know what I mean? As their salary throughout the year. You know what I mean? Like, that's how far, you know what I'm saying, that they're trying to bring it along. At least they're in the million now. They used to not even be in the millions. They just was, you know, the max was 900 and some thousand. They got it up to 1,400,000. So they're at least making 1,400,000. I'm not talking about tennis shoes and this and that. I'm just talking about straight salary. No endorsement.
Okay. That's good. Straight salary. That's showing that it's growing. Because last year we were arguing about it.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's a good set. So every year, we probably see it get bigger and bigger. That purse going to get bigger and bigger then. Because more people starting to really love the women's basketball. The WNBA.
Exactly.
Especially after they watch the college and everybody getting more involved with the college girls and starting to really see what college girls coming out that's going to be in the NBA the following year. See, like you say, more and more people watching it, they revenue building up. So they like, hey, we making more money. We can give y'all more money. At least which we know they probably making more than what they giving them. But they went up.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. It's going to grow every year.
Kang, you gotta realize, too, that you got a lot of celebrity kids, that's girls, that's coming out now. Like Ja Morant, little sister, she about to come out. You know, a whole bunch of people that's
Ja
in there that they have their eyes on. Hold on, I know Ja Morant, but I'm just saying his sister ain't never did nothing. So she is coming out, and she's excellent.
Oh, no, I'm with you.
Hey,
I'm with you.
She's an excellent player. Then they got Shaq's daughter. She coming out. She's amazing.
57 is saying Ja Morant going to be one of the women coming out. That, you know, hey. Congratulations.
No,
it's
this time in.
57
trying to say, I got to now 57. You crazy. You crazy.
Yeah, he can't play with the women.
Go ahead, Ted.
So, I mean, no, him
go,
coming out,
go
he can be coming out.
go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, it was about, now, y'all was saying, I understand what y'all was saying as far as, you know, maybe not 82 games and this and that. But then, but the comment as far as you're saying it'll run into other sports, you already got sports running into other sports. We got baseball going on now. We got hockey going on now. We got NBA finals going on now. So you got golf going on. You got tennis. You got sports going on all the time. So, you know, I just beg to differ on that argument as far as it'll interfere with other sports, you know.
Well, you got yin-yang.
You got yin-yang channels, you know, to put it on. So
they've already scrapped out
everything. Every sport that you just named, they've already been through their grind. They've already been through making themselves acceptable and popular. The WNBA is a baby with this. So
not
there,
really. They've been in existence for over 20-something years, man.
But that's not longer
over 25 years.
That's not longer than hockey, baseball, or the NFL. It's not.
True
or
that.
The NBA. That's not longer
True
than
that.
Any of those. And people already Your have thing. A commitment. People already have a commitment with the sport that they're committed to. So it's going to, at the beginning of the season and the middle of the season, you're going to have everybody in tune. But as soon as their sport of choice that they really love comes on, the WNBA will be an afterthought. It'll be a memory. So I think
wouldn't that be with any other sports too? Whatever they love, they're going to gravitate to. So, you know, I mean.
Because you know what? When football season starts, I still watch baseball. I do.
And those who love WNBA, would watch that too. That's all I'm just saying. That's all. But I hear what y'all saying. You know, y'all correct.
You say
Gerald said that they have the WNBA needs to bring in the NBA revenue, you know, that the NBA is bringing in, and then, you know, it'll grow like the NBA. Once they start bringing in that revenue, you know, then it'll grow like the NBA.
All right, y'all. Kale and Tang said something real early that makes a lot of sense, is that, like Tang said, it's growing. A lot more people are watching better than it used to be. And like Kale said, you know, you got to generate your revenue and everything. And it's only been around for 25 years, where basketball has been like 100 years, football. So they digging out their spot, and it's going to get better. It's going to get better.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to get better. All right, y'all. Mm-hmm. Great talk, WNBA. We're going to take a quick one, and we're not even going to take a break. Haney and Lomachenko fight. The Haney and Lomachenko fight from the weekend. Come on in here, Marcus. I know you've been chomping at the bit. Come on, Marcus.
Yeah, let's hear the expert.
Kirby said he likes to watch Mark. Women mud wrestling I don't know. He don't want to talk Lomachenko. He said he'd rather watch women mud wrestle.
Okay. For everybody else, though. Come on, Marcus.
We ain't back up in the woods right now. I mean, Kirby.
Right.
Take it off mute, Marcus. Take us off mute.
Kirby rather be making moonshine.
Yeah, exactly.
Fact.
Send me some Kirby.
Thanks, send him some Kirby.
Well, I don't know what's going on with Marcus, so I'll start this out. Man, that fight was one of the biggest ripoffs that I've seen with boxing this year. I was so geared up to, yeah, boxing is trying to come back. They're putting good fights, good matches out there. Yeah, y'all, it's changing. It's evolving. It's being more of the sport that we're used to. And then this weekend. First of all, Haney lost. He got outboxed, outpower-punched, out-skilled, everything that the scorekeeper used to tally a score, Lomachenko did it, and Haney didn't. And it was a point where Lomachenko caught Haney with a right hook, and I mean flush on the chin, and Haney grabbed him to keep him falling. How do you win? And Haney never produced any type of action like that towards Lomachenko. And I'm like, okay, how is it that this man won, but this man outboxed him? You know, it was just like, I don't even want to. My intention was to turn to the ladies after this fight with Haney and Lomachenko, but I felt as though I had already watched the ladies, you know, and I was done. I was done. I didn't want to watch any more boxing because it burns me up, y'all, to see an obvious winner being robbed by judges. And I know Marcus told me, us rather, on Thursday, that this was more of a passing of the torch type of situation. But if that's what
the
passing
one time
of the torch is, I don't want to see passing of the torch anymore. Put somebody against somebody that deserves it. Put somebody against somebody who's actually going to entertain us for the money that it's costing us. And it was so funny how ESPN played the lower cards on regular TV, and then they switched to the pay-per-view. You hype us up, and then you switch to the pay-per-view. Thank you, Fire Stick. And that fight was a dud. That fight was a dud.
Yeah.
The one time I listened to y'all and watched the fight, it's a bum. I'm like, this is what they be going crazy over on the weekend? This ain't nothing. Tell. Two guys. Okay, go ahead, Tank. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I promise you. No, 57, no, I promise you. These last two fights made me say what you always say. Man, I'm about to, if it ain't Tank Davis right now, or it ain't like Shakur or somebody that's about to fight, I really don't want to see it, because not only was this fight last week was terrible, but that last fight that Rowley had, they wanted him to win that belt when he was, that fight on the 13th of May? He fight Ishmael. Ishmael Barroso. Mm-hmm. Man, that was terrible. These last two fights has definitely been terrible, 57. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I
say
why
the
you
last
got away
three,
from
please. Tank
well,
Davis
was
fight, that
was
no great fight. Tank Davis Tank, fight was
oh,
a great
no.
fight.
It was
Tank
better
Davis
than
oh, man. He took a punch to the stomach and bent over and quit. Come on, y'all.
But bruh, it wasn't just any punch. Them type of punches like that make you do that. Now
yeah,
I understand
exactly.
If it's a fluke type of punch, but them type of punches. First, he had already knocked him silly with the left to the mouth and put him down. And then in the next round, he had weakened him up, man. He tore him down to the body.
Yeah,
you know how them kids decide to be, man. That was right up under the rib cage, man.
Right
that
hand.
Thing will set you down with a right
yeah,
hand. That's what it was. Face.
Yeah, it was a right
but
hand.
But
yeah.
Yeah, with a right hand to the
My
face.
Bad, y'all.
But then with that body shot, under that rib cage, man, that will put you down, brother 57. I promise. Sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Marshall.
Hey,
Gerald,
welcome
said, back.
Wait a minute, Marcus. Gerald said that he said Loma Chico. Loma Chico stole the show, but Haney's short body shots is what the judges saw. It was the body shots that the judges saw.
No. Absolutely not. That's not what happened.
Graham.
I remember him. He's a Devin Haney fan. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, like this fight went exactly how I said. This was a torch passing fight. But the expectation that Lomachenko was done because of his last two fights. If you look at his last two fights, they thought he was going to come in and be a washer. He looked like the Lomachenko of old. He looked like the original Lomachenko in that jump. And it caught them off guard because he came to fight. He didn't get the memo. He didn't get the memo that it was a torch pass. He didn't get that.
Yeah. I didn't see none of that. I saw both of them busting each other outside and nothing.
Let me tell you this. Let me tell you, I got it written down. I got it written down because it was important because I heard everybody saying that it was – because I didn't see the fight that night. I went back and watched.
Right.
I went back and watched the tape. And everybody was like, he got robbed. I said, man, y'all looking through y'all eyes. Let me check it out. When I looked at it, they were exactly right. Honestly – Lomachenko won the first round, the second round, the third round, the fourth round. The fifth round went to Devin Haney. The fifth and sixth round went to Devin Haney. The seventh round, Lomachenko won that round. The eighth round, Devin Haney clearly beat the brakes off of Lomachenko that round. He tuned Loma up. That was his best round the entire fight. The ninth round, it was an even round. The tenth round, Lomachenko was the clear – he clearly bust that boy up. The tenth and eleventh, he clearly won those rounds. And Devin Haney won the 12th round, in my opinion, because Lomachenko took his foot off the gas.
That's what I was going to say. So it should have been a draw.
That's a draw.
It should have been a draw, exactly.
That's not a draw. Hold on, listen to me. Devin Haney, that's four rounds to seven. That's four rounds to seven.
I just say four rounds.
Yeah, four rounds to
seven. I can't go back and call it round for round like you just did, Marcus, but I don't agree with how you judged it. I think the fight at the end of the fight, I think it was even. I'm not disputing the way you saw anything like that. Don't get me wrong, but I just didn't see it that way. I thought if anything, Lomachenko got robbed, and if not, it should have been a draw.
Yeah.
So
I think he was busy.
So Lomachenko. So look, the way you keep a mobile fighter from moving is you go to the body. The game plan for Devin Haney was a great game plan. To start off attacking the body, right? Because you make the Joker stop moving, right? But it didn't work. He was still moving the whole fight. Your body shots didn't stop this boy from tuning you up in the latter rounds of the fight. It was supposed to go the other way around. You were supposed to be looking at Lomachenko with his mouth open, gasping for air from the body shot. But he wasn't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The only problem that Lomachenko has that a lot of pros do, you know, a lot of older pros, what they do is they give away the last 30 seconds of a round, right? They take their foot off the gas the last 30 seconds of a round, and that's a problem. Because Devin Haney, to me,
almost every, at least four rounds, at least four or five rounds, Devin Haney won the, would actually bring it back on. You know what I'm saying? For the last 30 seconds of a
yeah.
round. And if a round, if a round is, is 3 minutes and you give away 30 seconds and that's the last thing on a judge's mind, that is a problem. That's a problem. So from
Gerald
that perspective.
Says, okay, real talk. Gerald says, okay, real talk. Boxing is not going to let any more belts leave this country point blank. That's why they gave it to Haney.
I kind of agree with that right there. I agree with that 100%.
I can see what he's saying, even though I don't completely agree. Yeah.
Listen, man, we got the mob controlling everything and every sport out here. Don't nobody forget today ain't involving, especially in boxing. Especially in boxing. And they're the powers that be. Are right here in the United States.
Yeah.
They ain't spread all out over in the Philippines like they used. The power is right here.
Yes.
They ain't going to let that boy did not win that fight, Marcus. I'm not saying he should have lost his belt, but it should have at least been a draw.
Yeah.
To me, every time they went inside, Lomachenko was catching him with three or four punches inside, then he run away from him and hit him with the body shot.
Kirby said,
in my opinion, Lomachenko won the fight.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, go ahead.
I didn't know you thought that way.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Lomachenko won the fight, bro.
saying.
He got robbed. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He got robbed in front of the police station. He got robbed in front of the police station in front of the judge and the jury. Yeah.
But, Marcus, like you say, it was a passing of the torch, you know? Because Lomachenko been a champion, you know, like you say, he has been a champion. He went away, but now, you know, he come back and he came back training hard and all that. And they didn't think he was going to put out that fight like that. But like you say, David Haney was going to draw them bigger fights. You know, he's going to draw that bigger payday, and he's a younger fighter. So,
Ted, you know that thing you just said is very, very important. Remember that's what I said last week about Devin Haney? About once you start thinking about 10 fights ahead of the game when you have a prize fighter. You know what I'm saying? You start planning the fights. But Devin Haney, you guys, if y'all looked at him, y'all see that he has a ceiling now. Remember, I was giving him props for his growth, but he got a ceiling.
Right.
That's why I said I was never really crazy about
him. Mm.
But you know what?
Old man almost knocked him out.
I don't. His ceiling being that high when it comes to that pay, because not unless he's trying to fight somebody like Stephen Shakur or somebody, and they're going to beat the brakes off of him. Because if he try to fight anybody that don't nobody know about, he's not going to get no money. Wasn't nobody even buying that on pay-per-view. The pay-per-view ratings was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, I
and nobody in
watch.
The audience
yeah,
was even out there
watch.
For him. Nobody out there was even for him. He got
who was
booed.
That area?
Yeah.
He got booed. Nobody was out there for him.
But Haney was up.
How you doing?
Actually, I didn't know much about Haney. Really, too much. But
he's
in that weight class with Tank Davis, so that's, you know, he's in that weight class with them boys.
No.
He's going out messing with Tank.
I'm not saying he's not going to go out, but he's in that weight class, all right?
He went down. I think he needs to go back. He came down.
He's not supposed to be in that weight class.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to deal with Tank.
From what I've seen, I'll take Haney over Tank Davis.
Get out of here.
But I've seen.
You ain't watching.
Hold up. Hey, look, I'm just going on the last couple of fights I've seen.
Hello,
I will take that bet. I will take that bet, bro. What you got on it?
I'm with you, Cam. I'm with you.
No. I'm with you.
Girls said Haney will beat Tank up. Girls said Haney will
okay.
beat Tank up.
No,
bet $10 to anybody want to take that bet right now.
$10
to anybody want that bet.
Cousin Jim, Haney can't do nothing with
it.
If Roman Cinco can get away with doing what he did to Haney, and Haney had no answer, man, boy
Tank will eat that man alive.
Man, Tank had that guy right. throwing up in the ring, man. He will
yes,
have him throwing, literally throwing up in the ring. Nah, he don't
yes,
want
send my money to
that.
Mama. Send my money to Mama Boss. Mama Boss 550. Well, you know what to tell him.
No. No. You send my money straight to me. You send my money straight to me. When Tank get in there and demolish that. You know,
we're gonna get together and we're gonna watch some baseball tape and I'm gonna show you some Tank tape, some Tank Davis tape. And we're gonna make sure you don't never say that again.
You mean switch
off? Can I say this?
Mark,
can I say this?
Mark, you mean switch off?
Yeah.
Y'all gonna do some switching off?
We're going to come together and we're going to sit down and watch some tape.
I'm with you.
Gerald said, see, y'all don't want to bet. Y'all don't want to bet this TNT sweatsuit. He said, answer. Y'all trying to ignore Lady T. No answer.
Hey, no, I got money on it. You can buy as many sweatsuits as you want. You can buy as many sweatsuits as you want with the money I got on.
I know that's right, Marcus.
Come on with that money on
now,
it.
Come on with your point.
Now
kid.
Check
come
this out, though.
Point.
How can if y'all say that Haney lost to Lomachenko or was a draw? How can y'all say that he'll beat Tank? And Tank is that monster he is. You know, this destroying Garcia.
Nobody's saying that. That's
only two people that went crazy on here, Tay. It's only two people that lost their minds just now and said that.
Right. Whoever said that, I don't know the names, but I'm saying whoever said that, I'm not saying, when I say y'all, I'm not saying who, it was more than one person, but I'm not saying whoever didn't say it, I'm not addressing it to them.
Hey, bro. I don't mind you calling me crazy, Ted. I'm cool with that. I can take it.
They're not crazy.
No, not that you crazy, but I'm just trying to figure out the science, the logic on that.
This is what I'm saying.
I got
Marlboros, man. He done had too many.
I'm telling y'all, listen. That's not blaming on the Marlboros this time.
I want 5 packs of them, Jones. I want 5 packs of them
all. Okay, listen up.
I don't want no
Marlboros. From what I've seen, Haney's punch is better than Davis. He's taller than Davis. And Davis really didn't do a lot in that last fight he fought that dude. That dude quit, man.
Wow.
Davis ain't that bad a greater fighter than y'all.
Because of them body
is.
Shots.
He don't even throw a
them
lot
body
of punches.
Shots.
He quit because of what he did.
Because of them body
shots.
All right. All right, y'all. We got to move
me
on.
Me and Gerald.
We got to move
That's
on.
It.
We gotta, you and Gerald better put them things down. When we come back, John, we're going to jump into the NBA. We're going to jump into the NBA.
Yes, sir.
That was dedicated to Tang and Gerald. That's Tank saying the he can't go for that. All right, John. The NBA playoffs. The NBA playoffs. As we know, LeBron and the Lakers. Let me put it this way: the Lakers team was defeated by the better team, Denver Nuggets, last night, 113-111. And I'm going to say this. It wasn't a bad season for the Lakers, y'all. It really wasn't. They just matched up with a team that they had no answer for. And the media tried to say that Rui Hachimura was the answer when it came to Jokic, and I knew that was a joke the moment that they said it. I knew it was a joke the moment that they said it. Anthony Davis is a better player than Rui Hachimura Sunday through Sunday. And he couldn't stop the Joker. When the Joker hit that off-balance three-point shot, nothing but the bottom of the net, I said, we're watching destiny. We're watching destiny, man. And that's not to say anything bad about the Lakers. They just came up with a team against a team that was destined. Come on, Lady T.
Yeah.
I think LeBron, like you said, I'm just gonna piggyback off of what you said. Cause I don't want keep it moving, but LeBron and the Lakers, they had a really good season. They just ran into a better team. They came all the way from the play-in spot and made it all the way to the last four. You know the last four standing. So I can't sit right here and act like they was just some boo-boo all year, because they wasn't. They did a really good job. They just ran into a better team, a hungrier team, a more put-together team. They just ran into a better team. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to sit right here and say too much bad stuff about LeBron. He's 38 years old. When he come back next year, he'll be 39. So, I mean, he looked more together. He looked like the more together person on his team than any other person on the team. So I can't really say too much bad things about him. I'm just going to say they ran into a better team. That's all.
And LeBron ran into a wall the second half. The man gave you 31 points in the first half. 31 points. And double-digit rebounds. He was gassed out. He just couldn't. He couldn't. And everybody was like, why is LeBron not demanding the basketball? Because he knows he'll be in a liability. He wanted the other guys. There was a moment where he went to Schroeder and said, man, shoot that ball. Shoot the ball, and Schroeder proceeded two series coming down the court to bang that three. So, I mean, I don't want to get a ha-ha LeBron moment, you know, because they just came against a better team. They just came against a better team, so, you know.
And give Denver credit, Kale. Denver, in the second half, if Joker grabbed the rebound, he pushed that ball down the court. They ran them that second half, you know. And by the time they got to the fourth quarter, everybody on the Lakers team was tired. But they were still running up and down the court. And like Sis said, they just ran into a better team. But last night there was an audition for Kyrie to come there. He got his fingers crossed over on the sideline and everything. LeBron gonna do what Kobe did a few years when Kobe put that team, his team together, and went back and won the championship. LeBron getting ready to do the same thing. He gonna win another title, I think, before he leaves there, or he gonna give it a good shot trying, and the Lakers gonna help him do it.
On what 57 is saying, real quick, on what 57 is saying, I really don't even think right now for LeBron that it's about a ring. I think he's trying to stay in the league long enough to play with his son. So that's going to be his ring to, I mean, you know, ain't no moral victories and all that kind of stuff. I understand all that. But his
well, I'm
thing
going
is,
by what he said
he
last
stay,
night.
He want to stay in the league long enough to play. I understand what he said. The emotions was running high. He just lost. He was talking off of emotions, I think, by saying that, because he is going to be back, and he just wants to play with his son. He just want to play with his son. However, way, if he got to play against his son on the same team, whatever. He just want to be in the league long enough. He just trying to survive long enough to play with his son. Nobody else has ever done it. He's trying to do something nobody has ever done before. That's what he do. That's one of his legacy. That's part of his legacy.
You want to play with your son? Build you a court out at your garage, man. Because you're not doing nothing but hurting yourself. You're doing nothing but hurting the name that you built and the reputation that you worked so hard to obtain. Bruh, we saw you gassed out last night. We saw you not
gassed
able
out.
To perform. We saw you not able to perform last night. I say, bruh, you've done all you needed to do. And I'm even going to say there'll be no more Mike comparisons from me. There'll be no more Michael Jordan comparisons. You stayed in this league longer than anyone has. You played more games. You played in more series. You've done all that you could do. Bruh, it's time to go ahead and hang it up, man.
Okay, but Kale, listen,
I'm gonna have to.
Do you seriously think that he's gonna leave that $97 million on the table that's left on his contract? He's not doing that. He's gonna play for the next 2 years, get that $97 million. That's how much it is. It's $97 million.
I get that.
If he don't come
that.
Back, he's leaving $97 million on the table.
Do you know how much money LeBron James make out of basketball? That's not going to do anything but go into his conditioning. Seriously, he's not worried about the money.
He's not leaving it out there for somebody to keep. He's not leaving it out there for them to have.
Yeah, he's
going to
play for 2 more days, bro.
Yeah,
and I understand everything you're saying too by him being tired. But also, like 57 was saying, the only people I got them keeping on that Lakers team is Hachimura, Reeves, and Davis.
Yeah.
The rest of them jokers.
And congrats.
Hachimura.
And, you know, shout out to Reeves. That young man made a serious name for himself. He has made
He's an undrafted player, too, bro. He's an undrafted player.
Hey, let's not forget Hachimura, man. Even though he came to that joker.
Guy.
Yeah. My bad.
Yeah.
They
keep
Hachimura
him.
Stepped
they
up.
Keep,
yeah.
But guess what,
he
though?
Stepped up.
Hey, big bro. Hey, look, while when I was looking at the looking at it last night, I seen our man over there. He going to get him a ring this year. Thomas Bryant.
Yes, sir.
Thomas Bryant.
Hey, don't forget Georgetown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't forget Georgetown, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Caldwell Pope over there, too.
Yeah, but Caldwell, he's more of a Laker man. He was more of a Laker man.
We about
to
represent, baby.
He was happy as hell to beat them Lakers last night.
Yeah, Georgetown in the house.
Gerald said Jordan, Kobe, and Mayweather are gym rats, and they stayed ready.
LeBron was a gym rat, too.
LeBron stayed ready.
LeBron
he stayed ready, Yeah, he stayed ready the whole time.
I think he don't like LeBron.
Yeah.
That's what it
Some
is.
Some people just don't like him.
And LeBron took it a step further because he put a heap of his earning into his body, making himself we didn't hear this about Kobe, but we heard about Mike started smoking cigars and wanting to play golf more and the gambling and all of that. We haven't heard any of this with LeBron. This man has dedicated.
Yes, we have.
When?
LeBron was caught in the stand smoking weed with his wife.
Okay. But in the NBA, weed is legal, and my doctor told me
weed ain't never been illegal in the NBA.
Yeah, weed always been legal in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, always.
How did Robert Parrish get
in trouble then?
Who?
Robert Parrish.
He didn't get in trouble for weed. He didn't get in trouble for weed. Not by the NBA. He got caught by the police with a pound of weed in his car. But they didn't get no punishment from the NBA.
The Popo got him.
The Fed. Now, hey, listen, y'all. Real quick. Tonight's game between the Celtics and the Heat. Do you guys think that series is going to end as well? Now, if that series ends tonight, we're not going to have any basketball until Thursday of next week.
Yeah,
well, no basketball until next Thursday.
You're absolutely right.
Man, Miami got Boston. If they was playing this game in Boston, I would say Boston got a chance. But you don't let this team come to your home court and take two games and then come home. This is and then they blew you out. They blow you out when they come home. Man, all you want to do is get this over with so you can go on vacation.
In Boston's losses at home, it was like they gave up. It was like they just didn't have any interest in winning at all. And Miami, on the other hand, kept their foot on the pedal. They were still
on the pedal.
They were still rebounding, still stealing, and everything. And listen,
now they're saying
we've said it. Numerous times, we've said it numerous times here on Tales Corner. Jason Tatum is not a closer. He's not. So I think it's high time that the Celtics realize that out of Brown and Tatum, Brown is your closer. He's that guy that's going to say, forget it. Because we on Kale's Corner. Give me the ball. Let me take over. Let me do my thing. You know? And you can see it in his face. He's getting frustrated, happened to play second fiddle to Tatum, who's missing shot after shot after shot. I'm talking Tatum missing layup. He missing two-pointers. And then I don't even want to bring up threes. He's losing the ball, turning it over. I mean, he's just not having a good series at all.
And guess what, y'all? Tatum also have not shot the ball not one time in the fourth quarter in this series. What's up with that?
The last game, you're right, not once.
No. All of them, 57. They talked about it.
Yeah, all of them.
Oh, really? All of them?
In this series right here, every fourth quarter, he have not shot or made a shot in the fourth quarter, bro. He has like Kale said, he drifted off. I don't know what's going on, but he drifted off.
They tried to give him an out this morning on First Take. They're trying to say they're retaliating against ownership because of the way they got rid of the other coach and everything. They didn't like it. I'm like, no, y'all should have got beat, man.
They should have did that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you're the playoffs now. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't come with that.
This is not the time. This is not the time to make a stand.
Don't pull that rabbit
without
that.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Now, 57 just made mention of it. Do you guys think, what's his name? Miles. I always call him Miles. The coach for the Celtics. You guys think he's going to be back next
Mazzulla.
Year?
Joe Mazzulla. Yeah, he's going to be back.
I think.
Yeah, he's going
to
be back.
Because it was – now, if they about to get one of these other coaches besides Doc Rivers, and if they about to get one of these other coaches like the dude from the Milwaukee Bucks, I can see them doing that. But I don't know. Because it's crazy. He might get fired. If they lose, you never know. He might get fired. But I just think they shouldn't because he was a rookie. He got thrown into the fire. He did good. He tried to do things his way. And it's a learning process to me. Now, if they fire him, they fire him. But I just think I think he should be able to stay one more year to see what he do.
But what he got to start doing is.
So we're all
he might be
in agreement. We're all in agreement that firing Udoka was a dumb move. We're all in agreement.
Yeah,
they
act too fast. Yes, they act too fast.
But Houston gets the benefits of that. Houston got the benefits of that because he in Houston now.
Yes,
sir. Come on, Ted. I heard you.
No, I was just going to say that that dude might be a scapegoat. You know what I mean? Because they don't if they don't want to break up the duel. Or that any, you know, members of that team.
And that's true on that team. Yeah.
As a scapegoat, you know, because, you know, reasons as you're your first time coach and you blew this and that. So, you know, I don't know if he should go or not, but I'm just thinking if they do, it might be because of that reason or just because they want a new coach.
You got veteran players on the team. They should have rallied around their coach.
That's what I'm saying.
If Miami does not win tonight, they're hurting themselves. They're hurting themselves because Denver ain't playing, man. Denver ain't playing, and you need that 9 days of rest before you go up against them. Out of Bayou, and Ted and I, we both get so frustrated with how Out of Bayou plays. He's no match for the Joker, man. He's no match
man,
for the Joker.
Nope.
Yeah. So Miami needs to end it tonight. And I know the NBA don't want them to because it's going to mess with their schedule. But I mean, come on, bro. Come on.
Won't Tyler Hero be back by the time they start the finals?
They saying he should be.
Man, don't let Miami fool nobody now.
He's gonna be basketball.
I know we're talking about Joker.
Against Denver. He ain't gonna be basketball ready.
And this is a great team, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, Tang. I know you're gonna say this, man, but listen, bro. I'm going to say the same thing I said to you earlier today. Miami playing great basketball. I know this is a great team they're getting ready to go up against. But the way these guys are playing together right now, no telling what could happen. I'm not going to give anybody the nod. But I'm just saying, Miami could pull it off.
Only way they can pull it off, if Joker twists his ankle and gone for the whole series. Because Out of Bayou is shorter than Davis. It's just that, don't get me wrong, Out of Bayou, he's probably a little bit more physical. He's probably a little bit more physical than Davis. But when Joker body bangs on you, he pushes you around, man. That 280 pushes you around.
If Miami is smart, they'll let the Joker do what he do. Murray is the one they should concentrate on. Murray is the one.
But,
bro,
it's everybody on the Nuggets team, man. They go deep. They deep on their bench. That's why they go to the Lakers. Man, you got Bruce Brown.
Hey.
You got that boy Porter Jr. You got
that's who you got to
know. Porter Jr. and Murray. I told y'all about Denver.
Yeah, Denver mean, dog. Them boys mean.
Miami got a chance, though, because Adebayo play a different style. Now, if he rim run, okay, you know, he could be effective if he rim run. okay? And he also brings the ball up too. So the Joker had to play a different type of defense than he did against Anthony. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, he'd get to lean that body. And Adebayo ain't going to post too much, you know? So I'm not saying that he can't, that he won't at all, but he got a different side. He'll bring the ball up, and like I say, he you know, and he'll also a rim run. So, but they playing good ball. You got Vincent playing good ball. You got Kyle Lowry coming off the bench, producing, playing good ball. Your starter is coming off for that second unit and stuff. So they going deep. They playing a white big boy. Used to play with North Carolina. They play him a little bit more. You know, it's just a big body, a big foul. You know. Yeah. So, you know, and he can hit a shot or two, but that's six fouls, you know?
I feel. Because it's the championship. It's going to be a good matchup regardless because it's the championship. I'm with you.
And the only thing about those six fouls, Joker going to the line and making his free throws. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think he's missed maybe three.
Back.
This whole playoff push, he's missed three. Exactly. So
your phone
going
out,
you know, it's
funny.
It's going to be a good matchup. It's going to be a good matchup.
Exactly.
It was so funny watching Anthony Davis looking at Joker when he threw that shot up from half court. He just looked at him like, for real, bro.
He's on like 50 feet in the air. That's a rainbow shot right there, and I mean it's going.
Man.
Hey, Anthony Davis wasn't the only one. LeBron did that to him as well. Looked at him like,
yep,
man.
He showed enough
did.
Yes, he did.
He looked at him like, man, did you sir? And that was the point when I said, man, this Denver team is destined, man. This Denver team is destined.
I told y'all about that, though.
And to bring up Tane's point, I'm happy to see Anthony Brown and Ish Smith and all these old wizards playing with Denver, and these guys are going to get, if Denver beats Miami, these guys will receive a ring. I'm happy
for
you.
Ish Smith over there? Ish
Smith over there
too?
Yes, sir.
Dang, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes,
okay, I thought it was just, I didn't know Ish was over there. Okay. That's what's up.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, listen, I'm telling everybody, the Wizards are nothing but a farm team. I'm serious. Bama's come to us to get ready
Damn,
to play for real with other teams. They do, man.
Don't throw us out like that yet, Kale.
Man, we look around these playoffs and we see more ex-Wizards players making a difference for their new team that was here. We was always frustrated with them.
Yep. And you know why? Because we needed them to do something right now. When they go to them other teams, like Thomas Bryant, Ish Smith, they ain't playing. When Hartsmore
went
to the Lakers,
they just filling in patchwork.
He was the fourth option, bro.
Yeah.
You
got to
think it was AD, LeBron, and that Reeves, and then Hartsmore. So they didn't have to double team him. So what we needed from him at the time, he was too young to give it to us because he was getting double teamed here. So I understand what you're saying by a lot of ex-players are gone. But when they was here, we needed him to do what they're doing now. But they was getting double teamed. When Hachimura over there, he didn't get double teamed not once. You couldn't double team him.
We're getting ready to start building our team, bro. We got the 8th pick in the draft. We're getting ready to start building our team this year. We're going to cut out all the crap, and we're going to start building up the dynasty right in Washington, D.C. with the Wizards.
Okay.
All right, 50. All right, y'all. Like that.
All right, y'all. Okay. We got to change. We got to change our lane real quick. We got to change lanes real quick, y'all. We got to give a tribute to Jim Brown. We have to. James Nathaniel Brown. Position, he was a fullback, 6'2", 232 pounds, 9-time Pro Bowler, 8-time All Pro, 1-time NFL champ, 3-time AP MVP, three times UPI MVP, three times NEA MVP, Hall of Fame in the 60s, and the Burt Bell Award in 1963. The accolades are endless, y'all. Endless. He played 118 games. He averaged 122 yards. Wow. He rushed for 2,359 yards, rushing 2,359 rushes for 12,312 yards. 5.2 yard average, 106 touchdowns. 106 touchdowns. Great Jim Brown, man. The great Jim Brown. Rest in peace. I say rest in peace to the great Jim Brown. These stats, I don't know if we'll ever see anybody get 106 yards, 106 touchdowns again. But, hey, Brad did what he did, and he only played nine seasons. Single digit, nine seasons, and 106 touchdowns. That's domination. Domination. So, you know, hey, hats off to Jim Brown and all he did. Let me see, you got anything you want to add to that?
Rest in peace to the Jim Brown and his family and all who loved him, because that man was amazing. Everybody online is saying, rest in peace, Jim Brown, greatness you were. That was from Mom Betty. Kirby is saying, best running back ever. Best running back in the day when football was really football. Rough defense could do anything to you. He was like, everybody, Jim Brown is amazing. Everybody is giving it up for Jim Brown. We just, you know, our condolences go to the Jim Brown family.
Right. Anybody
and
else?
On that note,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
All
anybody
I'm going to say is, y'all, let's stop comparing athletes to each other. And let's just admire their greatness for the time that they were great. Jim Brown was great. LeBron, all of them. I'm not going to compare athletes anymore. Rest in peace, Jim Brown. Thank you for everything you did, not just in sports, but in civil rights, too. We appreciate you. Love you.
Yeah. No,
and with that being said, Gerald Spate has the last word. He's wrote, he loves Kale's Corner and Kale's Corner family. This show is all of it. And he said, and Devin Haney will beat Tank in the long run. Nuggets will win the NBA title this year. And he loves everybody here. And with that being said, you guys, DMV Kale and Lady T would like to thank everyone that supports us here on Kale's Corner. DMV Kale and Lady T would also like to say that we love you guys today more than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow, you guys. We're going to love you guys so much more tomorrow. You guys know it. You'll feel it. DMV Kale and Lady T, we are here every Tuesday and Thursday between the hours of 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. The number here is 563-999-3782. And you guys can follow Kale's Corner on Instagram at Kale's Corner and on Facebook at Kale's Corner. You guys can also log into blogtalkradio.com/UKaleMcLean and listen to the broadcast there as well. You guys, take care of yourself. We'll be right back here on Thursday. We love you guys. Keep the Brown family in your prayers. We love you guys. Kale, you have the last word.
Hey, if you love them, they should already know. You should be showing it, and they should know just as well as they know the scent that they're smelling out the nose on their face. With that being said, this is dedicated to Jim Brown.
Put your bad stuff. Say it louder.
you as I take you eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share. Say it loud. For ourselves, we're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud.
Rest in peace, James Brown. Jim Brown.